right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole, this is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole, now live, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole. This is your host, Jason M. Caldwell, once again with my best friend in the whole wide world, Andrea Venomous. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing pretty well, so
this is not going to be a typical show tonight, folks. But before we get into some things we need to talk about, I wanted to let you know, Andrea, why don't you tell folks what's going on with the DoMagicWithAK.com right now?
So, what are we doing with the Do Magic Challenge? We're, in fact, doing the magic again with the Do Magic Challenge. We just finished off the Enchantment Month, and I actually have some interesting stories about that. I actually did not succeed in this challenge, but the weird stuff happened, crazy weird stuff anyway. But the whole point is 30 days of magic, do every day, and see what happens.
By the way, I just want to bring up, how many other occult authors, public personalities are going to say in any way, shape, or form that they didn't have complete, utter success?
Well, probably not many, but that's their problem, not mine.
Well, thank you for being real.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So, tonight, we're going to talk about changes, big changes, because, folks, everything changes.
It does. Everything changes. So this is, you can say it, Jason. You can go through the whole list of litany of litanies, as it were.
Well, I don't remember that litany. You're more of a Trekkie than I am. But I'm just going to not beat around the bush and tell you folks, this is going to be our last show on the Para-X Network.
That's right. And that's not because we don't appreciate what the Para-X Network has brought. We're very happy about the Para-X Network. We're very happy on the Para-X Network, but we can't do a show every week. And we tried to bring in other staff people, and some of that worked out, and honestly, some of that didn't work out for where we wanted to do with the show. And most of that is not just because I'm in grad school, but you know, Jason's got to work a lot of extra hours, and we need a lot of help. And to really do the shows the way we want to do them, we need more time between each show. More time to do audio work, more time to kind of book guests, because we can't, you know, we have full lives. And that's not Para-X. Para-X was really good to us. We're really, really grateful to Para-X. We're very happy about Para-X. The issue there is, like I said, we just don't have the time. And we kind of discovered that once I got really hardcore into the master's program, and even now that I'm finishing, time is the enemy. time has really been the enemy.
Yes. But, and I also want to say a big thank you to the Parex Network, because quite honestly, they've put up with a lot, because I haven't been able to give them everything they wanted detail-wise, and they've put up with us anyway, so thank you. And thank you, because most of you that I've gotten emails from have been very, very supportive about this podcast, and it's been very appreciated. There's been some buttheads every now and then, but they have been far outweighed by the people that have shown us love.
I don't know. I seem to get more of the hate mail than you do. I don't know why.
You know, you're honestly... I don't get it. You know, it's like when I'm mean to people, they think I'm playing. I don't know why people treat you like that, brother. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I just decide I'll send you the hate mail and blah, 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 blah. But, and usually I'm the one who's like more rational and not as rough.
But right?
You know, right? You know?
I'm the hothead, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing with the show is we're not going to take down our website. But we are going to get rid of a fair number of the shows and kind of keep the best of the shows and then try to match that level on our podcast, match that level of show quality for all the future shows. So we're going to still do some shows.
Yes, but we're going to be very selective of what we do, and we're going to be able to actually edit them now instead of...
Right, so there might be some changes with the editing that we can do. We're going to try to go back to the old shows and edit them too, re-audio engineer some of them, and redo the website to make it more user-friendly. All the stuff that we should be doing and want to do, we just don't have time, that's a big part of it. The only reason we're leaving Parex is because of time. And like I said, we tried to bring some staff on. I felt like we had mixed results. Some of the staff are going to stay with us, and some of them aren't. And it's probably a mutually good decision that some of them won't be staying with us. And then we're going to return back to our roots, much closer to our roots, when Al was alive and we started the show. And the people who had been with us for a while realized Al was a pretty hardcore cultist. And we didn't screw around with, he got very good guests on his show for the Blog Talk Network and didn't suffer fools. And, I think Jason sometimes feels constrained, even, like, I'd be honest, like, I think Jason wanted, we're not going to name names, but you can put it together. Jason would sometimes want to strangle people more than even me, because he could tell people were just pulling the wool over people's eyes, and, you know, you can't tell them now in the current culture that you're full of it, but you can. If you don't care if you have guests. So, in a way, this goes to the whole Do Magic Challenge, everything we've been kind of moving towards. People get angry because we're criticizing the culture, but we're not wrong to criticize the culture. Like, yeah, I understand. Everything's a commodity, and things are sold, and we have to basically do that. But in a lot of cases, the best shows we covered were people who got on the show and admitted they didn't get through the Do Magic Challenge, or they struggled with this magic because it's real. And that's more interesting, I think, than hearing a sales pitch for material that you could get online for free at the Sacred Network. I forgot the name of the website, but stuff you can get from Hermetic.
SacredText.com.
Right. The stuff you can get... in slightly older language on the sacredtext.com. And I think that really frustrated Jason a lot. And he won't admit it, but it did.
No, I'll admit it. I'll admit it.
He might have admit frankly. It now, but it did. Because we want to have discussions.
Yes.
That are meaningful.
Authentic discussions.
Authentic. And you can't do that every week. And we would try it. And even then, like... like I said, trying to bring in other staff to kind of move things around helped and didn't in some ways. I think we're going to continue that where we were with Al, you know, where we started with Al. We have these real discussions. We don't have to, like, compromise. And if people want to kind of argue with us, we'll take it to task. You know, we're going to go back to taking it to task. I'm going to unleash the Jason. Unleash the Kraken! I mean, Jason.
Honestly, let's just say, you know, yes, I did grit my teeth a lot over the years because, honestly, we were working with published authors a lot, and Andrea, you know, he warned me, and I took note. I could be really hard on some people, but that might scare other people away, and we wanted to bring you a variety of authors over as we were doing this. So, yes, I was restrained at times. So was Andrea. Don't let him lie to you either. But yeah, let's just say you could follow Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole on Facebook, and there you'll get the notifications for when we put up new podcasts, and I will, you can also friend me on Facebook. I always put up notifications there on Jason M. Caldwell, Andrea Vitimus as well. I always try to post it on his, so... Yeah. Are you still with me, brother? Because it got real quiet.
I didn't know what to say, yeah, so...
Sorry.
yeah.
Couldn't hear anything in my headphones. That's another thing that'll be nice about being able to post-edit, because, folks, honestly, we're working with Skype. That's a flawed program. We're working with very limited... Neither one of us has a soundproof room, you know? But we've been doing it for you. And you're going to see other things coming from us. Since it is the final show in Parax, I'm just going to tell you folks. Either by the late part of this year or early next year, I'm going to be starting up a YouTube channel. So check out later podcasts for a update on that. That's why I've been working so much, folks. Because I... set a goal and I've stuck to it. I went out and bought a very expensive camera, and I've been working a lot of overtime at my day job to catch up on the bills.
Yeah, I just set this goal like to get an MBA. Not a small goal, just an easy one, you know.
Yeah. Right. Sure. You know,
it's a trivial goal to get a second master's degree. It's just completely easy.
You know, I want to give Andrea a big shout out, because I've seen things behind the scenes that would make you guys cringe. I mean, he has had a lot of projects that he's had to work on with other people's involvement in school, and I've seen him time and time again have to carry the load and make sure other people got good grades so that he could get good grades, because he's that kind of person. He wants to not just get the degree, he wants to do well and get the degree. He never half-asses anything.
Well, thank you for the compliment, I guess. What other people might call that a demon of perfectionism?
Yeah, let's just say sometimes that does beat you up.
I mean...
But... Oh, go on, sir. What are you about to say?
Well, I was going to say, I think... some things that would be kind of bad live radio might also work when we aren't live, like many more rituals, possibly meditations along with, I guarantee when it's going to be a little bit of time, but when we start reinvigorating the shows, resummoning Al will be one of the first things we do, which I thought, mm-hmm. although it might not have been that good of a radio, I think everyone who listened to the whole service, it was really powerful and really, really unbelievably strong experience. Like, people listening had magical impacts from us summoning Al just by listening. Lots of people. So we will do it again and take it from there. There's certain things like we could probably do more rituals. I think, you know, we'll probably be looking to get the best shows on YouTube as well. Because that's where people are going, you know? And a lot of just, it's again, I can't thank the Parax Network enough. You know, it's really been, when Al and us, we made the opportunity, I think they've changed owners now 3 times since we've been on the show. You know, and sometimes we've really struggled because, you know, of this time thing, and, you know, that's just how it is. You know, there are some other projects we could talk about that we're definitely working on that I think, you know, we aren't going away. And for instance, the Do Magic Challenge, you know, most of the people involved in Deeper Down, we're going to start a second podcast just for Do Magic. And that's going to be short form radio, so it's going to be a little different, you know, 15 minute interviews, possibly 10 minute videos that detail some magical techniques. So all of us are kind of working on this stuff with short form radio. Again, when people want to come on the show with Deeper Down, we're going to start redoing the website. Redoing the shows so that way we can get them re-engineered for the shows that we didn't have a lot of time to audio engineer properly through the wonders of Audacity.
You know, and a big shout out to Al too, because I am grateful to both you guys, because if anybody goes and listens to the single digit episodes, go all the way back to the beginning before Andrea decides they're not high quality enough anymore. I started this with 2 men, much more the gift of gab than I have, naturally. And I've become a better public speaker and a better presenter because of working with these men. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, he wants to become a paratainer. Copyright.
Oh, yes.
Jason Paulo, 2017. So if you know of any cable access television shows on cable television that's looking for a new paranormal show host, Jason's in the market.
Well, let me tell you, folks, I'm even going to throw out the working title for the network on YouTube. Paranormally Incorrect, because the governor's coming off. Well, at least as far as YouTube will allow, because I probably can't use all the 4-letter words I'd normally use on YouTube and still get paid.
Yeah, you can. Dude, that guy, that one guy, like, faked the death of suicide in the suicide force, he still got paid. Oh, my God. I wanted to kill that guy for doing that.
Right.
Like,
oh, did it come out that was fake?
Oh, it was fake, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just know how much gruff he got for supposedly showing a dead body. I didn't know it was actually
It was set up and fake, yeah.
Wow.
In the forest known for suicides. Could you get more culturally inappropriate and just, I don't know. I don't want to say rip on people too bad, but isn't that like the most typifying example of everything wrong with Western culture entirely? No respect for the dead, no respect for these terrible tragedies that are happening, cheap commercialization of a forest where people go to commit suicide because their life is too painful. I just can't think of a more insulting, commercialized, and just, I can't even think of a word to say of how it so typifies like some of the issues of American society that we should all be ashamed of.
you just hit it on the head, because allow me to say something evil, because I had a philosophical debate with another friend of mine when that all happened. He brought up the idea, as an economist, you don't want basically the market to allow this kind of thing to make money. And I said, well, okay, stripping all morality aside, the people voted with their views and their likes. Society wants this kind of crap and will pay for it.
And here's my response to that. It is no sign of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. It was my quote on email for many years. It's absolutely true. It's no sign of mental health or wellness to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. That is profoundly sick in any way that's sustainable. It isn't that isn't sustainable. And actually, like, if we want to go into it for a little bit, you know, since our last show, let's be honest. Our society is no longer sustainable. It's ready to blow up. It's ready to come apart at the seams. Like, hell, we can't even, like, be in the same area as some people anymore because it's so, we're so divided, right? Anyone who thinks that going to a suicide forest and commercializing that is a good idea, just unfriend me right now on Facebook, because eventually I'm going to curse you. I swear it. Like, it won't, it's such a horrible thing that I would morally find it, like, justified to do whatever is necessary to right the imbalance in the universe at that point, that that was okay. Like, so it's better that I don't know people like you, like that, exist. It's better that I don't have people like that in my sphere.
You just said people like me? Nice.
Not you. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, let me be very clear. If I got the opportunity to go to Japan, I would go there, but I would not do it that way in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I might go to Japan, and I might even go to the suicide forest, but it would be for entirely different, with different reasons, different purposes. I don't even think I would. In suicide forest, I probably wouldn't even take pictures. Maybe I would, but I just have a different mentality about it, you know?
Oh, completely different mentality. You would probably see me saying prayers to the Baron.
I would, yeah. I'd probably be saying lots of prayers, trying to elevate the pain there, you know, or, I mean, maybe not. Maybe I would try to make alliances with some of the hungry, angry ghosts there. But still, there wouldn't be a trivialization of what went on there, you know, not for a cheap dollar.
But that's one thing I could definitely say about us, that no matter who's been involved, Al or any other co-host that's come and joined us, we've never played you guys like that. We've never sensationalized anything, you know? Even if it was literally rituals in the temple space that were just audio for you guys. They were real. They were legitimate. Wow. It's just, I don't want to name names. We've had some guests that have even admitted to you on the air that they do sensational things on purpose, and that's just never been us.
No, and they get a lot more press, and that's very frustrating, to be honest. But that's what gets press, right? I mean, that's the game. It is a game, you know, in a way. And, you know, we can say this because our last show on Para X is, like, maybe one of the things to do there is to fight that game, to realize the game itself is kind of not what people want. And it is what people think they want. And that's a big difference, like, because it's easy. It's convenient. It makes you feel good. You know, makes you feel like this is going on. But that's isn't necessarily good. It's like sugar. Tastes really good. But if you're diabetic, it can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
definitely can kill you. And it's kind of like a lot of the self-aggrandizing, the self-narcissism, and the self-aggrandizement that you get via some of these sensational things. It's a fast emotional fix, but it doesn't fix the underlying problems, and it's not going to fix the underlying discussions that, if you're working in spiritual manners, that we should be having and we need to have, even though people don't want to have them, and they're not easy and they're not convenient and they don't get the sensationalism. They need to happen. And we need to be able to, like, have honest, authentic discussions with other occultists. Like, other occultists need, and I think some of our co-hosts have been really good about this. And I think, you know, like, Stephanie will come on and say that she struggles with doing this. She struggled with these things, you know. You heard me say that in this Do Magic Challenge, I couldn't get the blogging done, even though I had major life changes and effects from the work we did do, which Jason can attest to. I wasn't able to keep going for 30 days because things got too weird. Like, and Jason's right. How many times do you get on a podcast and hear anyone say that? Like, who's a published author? They don't, because it hurts sales. Let's be honest. It hurts the branding image that is an idealized conception of the person. And whenever you make a person be real, they're not as exciting. They don't play into the fantasy of what people should be and what a cultist should be. That ties back into how the Hollywood misrepresentation of occultism, paranormal activity, spirituality, all of it. It just kind of feeds all these negative aspects that aren't realistic and make it everything look cartoonish. When magic is far from cartoonish, it's far from... It is probably the most useful, a terrifying thing you can possibly take up as a spiritual discipline at the same time. And it should be, because, like, okay, so you can't wave a magic wand and get stuff to happen. You know, when the mirror is ultimately you, it's even more terrifying.
Because when you're doing real magic, you learn more about yourself than anything.
You do. You learn more about yourself. You learn about your desires. You learn about... Yeah, you get coincidences to happen. You know, you get magic to happen. But you're never not out of the equation. And you always have to take more responsibility. Like, if you can do magic and get things to happen, of which... You can deny that we can do that. Just fine. But you have to up your game as far as what you're willing to take on as responsibility. Once you admit that you may actually cause these random things that aren't random to happen, well, your decisions take much, much more weight. Because you can't make excuses for why you're not succeeding. You can't make excuses for... You know, anything. You have to try to make it better. And then you don't have to blame yourself about bad things happening, but you can't sit still either. And that's even more frightening.
Terrifying, actually, because something I've been thinking a lot about lately, you know, people that are close to me have asked, why are you working 12-hour days? Why are you doing this to yourself? You don't have to. You were doing fine before now. Well, because I wasn't moving. I was staying in the same place. One day was leading into the next. 1 year was leading into the next year. I have a good life. I'm successful, people. I have a good life. There's nothing wrong with my life. But I'm not moving. I'm not... the best me. I'm not the me that I actually want to be. And that, it's an act of magic to say, no, screw this. I don't like what I am, and I want to be more than this.
Terrifying. Actually, like, how many people would actually want to do that? That's the kind of discussion that we should be having, right? When I start telling, I think, you know, in retrospect, people listen to the show and think, I'm lying when I say stuff like, Jason and other guests have seen me do things which are just crazy. Like, bad, crazy, weird, just crazy things happening.
Miraculous, and other times, terrifying.
Stuff that you'd think is fiction if I went through and said it, but it's not. It happened.
Honestly, we don't tell you guys the best stories because you'd go, you wouldn't believe us anyway, so why bother?
Yeah, think it's a lie. But I mean, that's not important. It is important, but it's not really. What's important is, you know what Jason just said, you know, the, okay, I'm being honest with myself about where I'm at, and we're going to try to move forward, regardless of anything. And I think that's where we're at, even with the show. We're trying to move forward, and we made mistakes. We're coming back from those mistakes, you know, and well, that's all you can do. Just decide either you like the place you're in or decide you don't, and then you just move forward from there. And if you like where you're at, keep going in that direction. But you can't stay where you're at because time will move either way.
You know, you absolutely, well, I guess in that regard, you know you can't stay where you're at, but you can stay stagnant. You can let time pass you by.
But you're not going to stay where you're at because you're going to get older and eventually everyone's going to die. So you're not exactly staying where you're at even.
Well, I had a more melancholy thought there, sir. I was going to say, you know, I just don't want to be the guy who looks back on my life 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and goes, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done. I don't want to be that person. I want to say, you know what? I did everything I could, and I lived it under my terms.
Yeah. What else can you do, right? I mean, besides the living it on your terms, moving forward, all of that. I mean, the truth is like, everyone should, who's into the occult, should be railing against some of the Hollywoodization when people are presenting things in that way, because it really kind of defeats the purpose of magic. It defeats the purpose of real applied spirituality, of what is actually possible. It makes it seem like it's just, like I said earlier, a cheap cartoon. But even more than that, it makes people believe they can't make those changes because it's cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't make major life changes because these people are farces of human beings. Like, it's a parody, almost, of what is possible with magic.
I was a lowly prostitute until I found new avatar power.
Oh my god, you're going to get sued on air. Last show, I get sued.
I think whoever authored that book's dead now, right?
I'm not sure. Probably. That's from the 70s, so probably, yeah.
It's actually kind of an interesting book. I'm not actually discouraging you from looking at that book.
No, actually,
there's some fun stuff in there, though.
If you leave that, if you leave all of the 70s, of which there's many books nowadays that have equal or worse amount of fluff, if you leave all the 70s, like, cheesy occult fluff down, it's a really good manual of practical hermetic rituals. And they're fast traumatic rituals. Like, it really, that's what it is. It's all hermetic rituals. And they're not really hiding it. If you know about hermeticism and a decent amount of ceremonial magic, the new Avatar Power is that. And if you combine a couple other books, so we're going to get into a discussion of chaos magic right now, because that was
nice.
That was right at the time Peter Carroll was doing stuff, starting off. And that book particularly is chaos magic. It's pulling from about three or four grimoires, and mostly of which one of them is some straight ceremonial magic, you know, straight hermeticism. One of which is the Neuromolaton, which is this personification of virtues from the Roman text. You know, Stephanie actually wrote a book on that too. And it's getting some spirits from, oh, I forgot his name now, Barden. So it's combining these different things and just putting simplifying them and putting them into a hermetic framework and saying, here you go. And it actually works pretty well. So I have no issue with it, but there was a lot of fluff in there. And I think we could point to some authors that I'm not going to name names, but I really think they're realer than people think they're real, but they get a lot of flack from the presentation they're doing. The marketing and everything like that, because they're pandering to some of the worst common denominators of our society. And this kind of goes back to the whole Suicide Forest rant that we had. And they themselves, I'm sure, are doing actual real work, because the conversations that we've had with them, there's no doubt in my mind that they are doing the work. And that's more than I could say for some authors. But if they want to sell things, they have to present themselves in that manner. I'm not going to name any names. You could figure it out if you know who we're talking about. That's fine. I have a lot of respect for them, more than most people do, because I can tell based on what they're saying, their experiences match up some things that I've experienced myself from my actual magical work. But the only way they can sell things is if they presented it that way. Is that their fault or society's fault? The general culture, the general society, you know, things. I'd actually argue it's the mirror of us that's the fault and problem. Because, like Jason was saying, why did that Suicide Forest make money? You know, because we chose as a society to let it make that stunt to make money. Just like in the culture and the general occult discussion, we choose to financially support people who rely on sensationalism and fictionalized Hollywoodization of their magic.
I mean, hell, I get confused sometimes, because right now I'm living in a time and a society here in the U.S. that, you know, I could see a huge blow-up of people that think they're morally superior and act like they're morally superior, but those same people will put 2 million likes on a suicide video. Ah! Confusing, isn't it?
It's very confusing, I think. Very, very confusing. I think one of the things that, because it's our last show, we can say, like, is that something that you wouldn't want to accept in your personal reality? I hope everyone listening, the few people who are on the chat and everything, will say, no, it's not something that I could really want to accept. Yeah, you could say, well, you just have to deal with it, you have to accept it, but no, it's something you should then, if you say, I can't accept it, you should fight it tooth and nail everywhere you see it. Even if it means that you're not quite doing the sensational route to get more sales, even if it means that you don't have as many quite listeners for a show called Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole anymore, because people get upset with you because you're not supporting the fantasy notions of what is capable of. You're instead supporting the hard realities, and I think of what you can actually achieve. And you can almost achieve anything with spiritual work. But the key there is it's work. It's all work. It's hard work. It's not the sensationalism. There's no easy answers and there's no fast fixes. You know, even powerful magic takes work. It takes effort. It takes acceptance in a lot of cases. You know, and that's not easy. Because you might do an enchantment to get a new job and have to move across the country. It's never easy. You might do the same thing. You try to get a girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever you prefer. Doesn't matter. You know? And same thing might happen. All of a sudden, to get there, you might have to go in the hospital with a near-death illness, and all of a sudden you're married to the nurse that was taking care of you. Nobody wants to accept the other sides of what they're trying to do to get there. Right? So, you know, the fantasy culture, again, overriding any kind of actual spirituality. It's the continued idea of the fiction being more important than the stories that somebody takes a dump. Because we don't want to watch people taking dump. We want to hear only the extravagant stories of power and things. But this is a type of spiritual adolescence for many people. It's not different than the high school mentality, I don't think. Right? Well, what do you think, Jason?
Look, you hit the nail on the head, man. I'm not going to name any names. I'm just going to say, you know, I've been out there in the community. I've gone to different events over the years. Yeah. People, it's the cliques form, and there's people that love to throw mud at each other. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I've gotten drug in here and there, and I do things to defend myself, defend the people I care about. Other than that, you can keep your ego tripping. I don't want any part of it.
But I will say, there's always drag racing in our show. This is like
I know.
The show always started, like there's drag racing.
I will say thank you to the lovely young ladies that have begged for my attention just because, you know, you saw me as a public figure. It was fun.
Well, there you go. You could get that back, man. You could get your groove back. You'll just slide back in there.
Oh, my groove's still there. I could go teach at any event I want to right now and have that result. But you know what? Even though it's fun, a man craves something more.
Well, you do. I don't know that everyone does, right?
Okay, maybe not everyone. Maybe the rock star life is fine for some of you. Do not let me kill your dreams.
Actually, like, I think you just made yourself the most available bachelor in a paranormal community, since you're just like, yeah, man, I want something more, something deeper than one night stands. That's right. His email address is... No, I'm just kidding, Jason.
Jason614 at gmail.com. No, the funny... Well, it's not like they don't already know. I've said it 1,000 times. There's constantly some little chica begging for my attention. Ask not. I was going to say, no, that's not right. It's not a question of if you want me. It's a question of, do I want you?
Oh, man, listen to the arrogance tonight. It's just so... Jeez.
I'm kind of digressing. I'm just... The point's been made. Life has been fun, but I'm focusing more on me. So if you want to get close to me, you got to prove that you can help me make my life better. Be an asset, not a hindrance.
Oh man, listen to the selfish Jason. I was pimping you out for a second. Now it's like, no. But actually, like sometimes, like you know, that's the thing. I was like, that's part of the fantasy too. Is the not necessarily that people are giving to other people, but that the giving to the point that you don't even live your life, like. That's also a type of kind of spiritual adolescence. Like, no, people give so much and want to basically fight about the fact that there can be no selfishness. It's like, even in Buddhism, they don't believe that. Like, they don't think that way. That's a Western version of complex spirituality. It's a simplification, actually. It's a parody of what is in Buddhist thought or some Eastern thought.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, but, like, this is what is going on. Like, over time and time and time again, the discussion is being parodied down to such simple sound bites for everything that we want to talk about that it's impossible to have a higher level conversation with nuances to actually discuss some of these things and not get to the soundbite that leads to an emotional state. Often like judgment is a type of emotional state. I think we could call that an emotional state, but it's that simplification to get to an easy emotional judgment that at least here we've gotten to, which is the same thing. It's the same cultural pattern that when we're talking about everything resorting to some sort of fantasy, appeal to fantasy, escapism to fantasy, which you can listen to our past shows and make your own decisions, but there's a lot of times that's what's being appealed to. It's an escape to fantasy as opposed to what can happen in magic. You know, we have some fantastic stories, but that's still not important. What's important is what Jason said earlier. Again, the I'm not happy here, and I'm going to do something about it.
Well, and let me say something, you know. You bring up the idea of selfishness. Is it selfish to look out for one's own needs? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when my needs are met, I'm better able to project that out to other people.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, if, you know, there is too far of too much selfishness, but if you can take care of yourself, you are actually more able to, in a more powerful way, actually help other people. Because you have your needs met, you're not just doing things to get needs that are unexamined met. Like, people often, like, struggle in one area of their life, and then all of a sudden this isn't ripping on anyone, because it's not a rip, it's just a fact, is that, like, in this area, they're not doing this well, so they'll volunteer all their time instead of to be of service, instead of actually fixing what the issues are. It's a way to feel good, but not actually confront the bad. You know, not deal with reality in a deeper sense. To move past where you're at, instead you use a distraction to stay where you're at, but feel good. And that doesn't matter whether or not it's using occultism in a fantastic sense to have crazy spiritual experiences that you seek out, more and more dangerous. You go to different roller coaster parks to do the same thing, or you're doing different drugs to do the same thing. There's no judgment from me on any of those things, but ultimately, what do? The same thing. They keep you where you're at.
Well, heck, we've had several shows devoted to substances to even say, hey, we're not against the use of mind-altering substance. We're against the misuse of mind-altering substances. Just saying.
Well, I don't know that there is. I don't know that I would think that there is a misuse of mind-altering substances. That would be too judgmental for me to actually say that.
But well, I'll say it. Go ahead.
I think there is. I think there is I think it comes down to the theme that we're getting at as on our last show, that it's taken us 50 minutes to kind of hone in on this. It's the escape to some sort of phantasm versus re-engaging with reality at deeper and deeper levels. So mm-hmm. when we're talking about accepting the fact you're not happy where you're at, isn't denying that you're unhappy. It's not using meditation to just be, you know, give you that little jump in your step. It's to be honest about, hey, we're not happy where we're at, or I'm not happy where I'm at. What am I going to do about that? And then you use magic to kind of get insight and coincidences to fall your way. But there's still a gripping and wrestling with the actual reality without the rose-colored glasses, without the ideas of spirituality as an overwhelmingly positive experience, which if anyone thinks that, they just aren't doing the work. You know, even if you have great magical power, you're just not doing the magic. You're escaping from doing the magic. It's a parody of magic. Parody of the magic at that point.
I owe you a big thank you, man, because over the years, I've been through trials and tribulations in my life where other friends said, the problem isn't your situation, the problem's you. Basically, just accept your situation and change your attitude about it. You never said that. You said, you know what? You don't like it? What are you going to do about it?
That's more honest, right? Mm-hmm. For someone to say, just accept or change your view of the situation when it's an entirely hurtful situation to you, is that really a positive thing to say, or is it just another defeatist nihilism kind of statement? No. Like, okay, if you're not happy with the situation, what are you going to do about it? Well, that is a challenge now, isn't it? It's saying, okay, I'm not saying you're right or wrong about the situation. I'm only asking you, what are you going to take action on? For someone to say, just change your attitude in the situation, well, you know, that's really nice to say. But you know what? If someone's getting abused by someone, you know, is that the thing that they should be told? Well, it's just your perception of the situation that's bad? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of situations where you could say it's just a perception of the situation, but it isn't healthy. And you should, the best possible thing is to take action to get out of the situation. Now, that action might be to change your perception of the situation. It may not be. But certainly, just accepting the situations blindly isn't actual spirituality. It isn't a magical act, and it's not spiritual just to accept like pain and suffering around you. That isn't spiritual. It's martyrism, right? So now what? You get, then the next step is to play the victim card. My life is so terrible. Well, no, I mean, this is common, right? You can see the pattern, right? It's an escape.
Yeah.
Because the alternative of that escape is admitting that you may have contributed to the situation you're in, that you have to take action, and there's a lot of pain points in that action. Like, it isn't just, oh, I'm going to change my attitude. It's like, there could be a whole lot of changes with that hard realization that, yeah, what am I going to do about it?
You know, folks, take this from a guy who literally has had his life flipped upside down. Do not get spiritual Stockholm syndrome.
No, I mean, that's a good way to, not necessarily positive, but the victim complex is the opposite of spiritual work in a lot of ways. And it's not to say that bad things don't happen and that you have to heal from them. You do. It's going to take time. But to throw, when you adopt the role of a victim, you remove your agency from the world, which is the opposite of what magic does. Once you start removing your agency from the world, then you're just at the whims of fate. the whims of other people, the whims of your situation. You're no longer an agent acting to make change in the world. You are merely just part of the world. In the same way, you know, an ant is just part of the colony. Right? For those of us who practice magic and spirituality, I think sometimes it's about increasing our agency in the world despite our own inner demons, despite the external pressures, despite everything else. You never lose that light of trying to gain and increase your agency more and more on the world. And that's the probably hardest thing you can do. Guess what time it is, dude?
It's not quite that time. We're getting close, though. And are you not offering a... Maybe... I apologize if I'm speaking out of line, but would you like to promote next weekend's class?
What's going on next weekend?
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought you had your chakra class.
No, I canceled that one. But I am going to Toronto September 1st and 2nd. So, and I'm going up to Zex, Wuji, and Wellness Center. And it should be a great weekend. You can check that out on my website. Those two events, if you can get up to Toronto, go to Toronto. We're going to do some really good work there.
I'm going to try to make that trip with them too, but I just found out that it is really hard to get a passport these days. So I'm going to see if I can get that done before that September rolls around.
Yeah, we could talk about that for a whole show in itself too, but let's just leave that one alone. Well, I know, right? So I want to, again, at the last couple minutes of the show, thank the Parax Network. We are super appreciative to the opportunities that the Parax Network gave us. You know, when we're in a position in the future, I hope they maybe will take us back when we're not so busy with life, and we'll take it from there. I hope they would be willing to do that, and we would be very willing to try that once we get stuff time-wise a little better off. So I want to thank the Parax Network, Eric B. especially, you know, the current owner. It's been great. We really appreciate it, and I can't say thanks enough.
And with that, I'm going to go ahead and let the Illuminus take us out from the network one last time.